guys, welcome back to another episode of Porn Star Confessions. Today I'm super excited. I've got Killian Knox. Welcome.
Hello.
So, where does your story begin?
with porn or just in general? How far back do we want to go?
How old are you?
I will be turning 50 in 3 weeks.
Damn, you look good for 50. Shit. Okay, well, let's just start like growing up.
So I'm from Tennessee. I'm from Knoxville, right? Killian Knox. That's where it comes from.
Oh.
Very rural, very, very poor neighborhood as far as money goes, right? We raise chickens. not to eat, but to raise and resell. So in my house, we always had incubators, which would hatch chickens, and then we would put in boxes with a light to keep them warm, so it was never dark in my house. So I come from a very, very rural, very farm kind of place. I grew up there in the 90s, and there were really no gay people that I knew of. There certainly weren't anyone on TV. And so after college, I got married to a woman. I was married for almost 8 years. And then got separated and decided to go the gay way. And that's what I've been since. I've got a partner of 15 years now. And so pretty much my entire adult life has been 8 with my first wife and 15 with the second. So I've been with somebody most of my adult life. Yeah.
Okay. So when did you first realize you were gay?
Early. There was never a question. Oh. Never a question. I think what really I knew something was, I didn't necessarily know that it was different though. Right? I just thought, oh, that's what happens. But I can remember we would get the Sunday paper, and in the Sunday paper they had all the ads, and in the JCPenney ad, if you turned a few pages, they would get to the men's underwear, and they had on these tidy whities, and I was like, ooh, and that has carried through. Underwear is still my thing. White socks, and I think it all kind of comes from those JCPenney Sunday circulars.
Holy shit. I never put that together until you just mentioned it. Fuck, no, because I've always had an underwear thing, yep. And I remember for me, it was the Sears catalog.
Because that's all you would ever see is these guys in these tight white underwear and white socks. And it'd be like,
oh. Oh my God. Wow. Holy shit. I never put two and two together on that. I always wondered where that came from. Shit.
I guess that's where it comes from. It makes sense to me anyway.
No, it makes total sense. No, I thank you for finally connecting those dots for me. So obviously, like, you're in a small town, very rural. Like, I get not coming out.
Yeah.
So, what did you study when you were in college?
Right. So, the first round, I went and I studied fine art. I was pretty good. I was pretty good at it. Right. And then, as soon as I graduated, there's just not a lot of money in it. And I was like, wait, I'm not in school. And I don't have a job. I'm a loser. Get a job. Right. And so my college job had been to work in a movie theater, and they needed a manager 9 hours away in a little town in North Carolina. And I said, sure, I'll go manage that movie theater. I was really good at it. And so they promoted me and again and again and again. And so for 9 years, I ran movie theaters, went back after that and got a degree in accounting. So that's kind of ends of the spectrum.
Okay. So this isn't politically correct, so give me some rope. Are you, like, gay, or are you, like, 90% gay, 10% bi?
No. 100% gay. Always have been. Okay. But, you know, when you're 19, you can have sex with a tree in the yard, okay? Let's face it.
Yeah.
And so, if you don't see a future in gay, then you're like, well, sure, I can have sex with a girl. That's no problem. And then 25 comes, like, yeah, that's still okay. And then 30 comes, you're like, no, I don't think I can do that anymore. It's just not floating my boat, you know? And so I just couldn't do it anymore. But I never thought I was bisexual. I never thought anything like that. always 100% gay, just doing what I thought I had to do to make it in life.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. And you're absolutely right. God, when I was 19, the wind would blow. And
oh, just, if I even tried to have sex, I would come right before. I mean, you could never enter anybody. Just the thought of getting near it was enough for me to, this is very boring.
So did you guys have kids or no?
No, it's kind of a regret, right? But I was moving with the movie theater every year or so. And she wasn't able to finish school because we kept moving. And we're like, well, as soon as she finishes school, we'll have kids. But by the time I stopped moving, we decided to split up. And so we never had kids. But I'm still best friends with her. I just had coffee with her yesterday in Tennessee. I flew home to see family. And we had some coffee. And we're still great friends. It's not that I don't like her or love her. It's that I don't want to do her.
So if you don't want me asking, what was like the straw that broke the camel's back with that?
Well, I think, well, I had already started making progress on this when the internet became bigger, and then there were some sites that you could go to find people to meet. Very rough in the beginning, but still an outlet. And I started acting on that, and I knew that's what I wanted to do, and I couldn't just end it. And so I think I was purposely leaving clues that something was going on, and finally she confronted me, and I said, yeah, I'm gay. And then she still wanted to stay together, because we made a pact with God, and you honor that, right? And she said, you can be gay, but let's stay together. And I just didn't feel like that was right for her. That wasn't fair to her. And so we did end it. But yeah, we were going to still try even after that.
Damn, that speaks very highly of her.
She's an incredible person. Incredible. And
I was most women would go nuclear, like,
well, no, she had some bad cutting days. Balls off. Now, I'm not going to say it was all roses and kittens there for a year or two, but yeah, at the time we were still going to try, and we did. Like on Friday night, I would go out, you know, and I'll be back. But wow, it's just not, it's not a good game plan.
Okay. Damn. All right. So you get divorced, and I'm imagining that, well, no, because your wife was letting you go out. I was going to say it was almost like a bird being released from its cage, yep. But it sounds like you didn't really have that issue.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, going out is more like meeting somebody online through, back in the day, it was not, oh, let's go on the app and in 20 minutes find a person. You know, it's like 3 weeks of labor intensive trying to catch them online and where and how. It is very complicated to meet anybody. And I'll be honest, I was a little non-traditionally good looking. I don't think I was much of a catch, what most people would think was a catch back in the day. And I didn't even realize it, right? I had a wife. I thought I was okay. And then I realized, oh, people are kind of shallow. And I might need to actually care about my appearance a little bit more, so it was even more difficult, right? And so I really didn't meet a lot of people. And then afterwards, I actually started to go to clubs, right? When we were married, we never went to a club. I'd never really gone to clubs before. And so that whole go out and meet people was foreign, completely foreign to me. And to this day, I think I've gone home from the bar to somebody's place maybe 10, 15 times in my entire life. It's just not in my... I go there to have fun, not to meet somebody to go home with. Not that I won't. Mental note. But that is not really at the forefront of my mind.
Yeah. What was that like, though, experiencing that, like, being older? Because I feel like most people experience that, you know, late teens, early 20s.
Well, it was a shock because I grew up very rural and I knew no one gay. No one gay. The only gay bar I knew about was thought to be seedy and in a sketchy part of town, and nobody would go to it. And we would avoid it like the plague, you know. There was no Will and Grace at that time. There was no Anderson Cooper. There was nothing. And so I remember some friends of mine said, let's go to Pensacola for Memorial Day. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's massive. 70,000, 100,000 gay people on the beach, and nobody else, right? And I was like, well, I guess we can go. It should be fun. But when I got there, and everybody in all the restaurants were gay, and everybody on the beach, for as far as you can see, you can walk until you run out of a drink, and everybody's gay. And I thought, I am not alone for the first time. And I just, here I'm on this beach, sunny, and I'm just crying. People are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I can be gay and be happy. And so at that 30, right? So that's really late. And so it was a bit of a shock to the system, right? To actually see happy gay people and know that I could be one. Yeah. And so that was really weird.
No, I mean, at least though you got to come out like when you did, because, you know, 30 is still pretty young.
Yeah, it was pretty young. It was young. And of course, I remember when I was before 30, I don't want to see anybody over 30. I don't want to see anybody over 30, even though I've always had like a daddy complex. But when I got to be 30, I thought, I still got a lot of seeds to sow here. And it was not bad. It was not bad. I met a lot of people. I found a groove. I started playing softball, which was great in the gay league, because all of a sudden I had 10 friends who could help show me the way, right? And we became very, very close, and I hold them so dear. But they really helped me get out of my shell. I'm a bit of an introvert, and so if I'm by myself, I'm not going to go out. This is not going to happen.
I'm very much the same way. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, frankly, it's a miracle I even go to the gym. Like, I just want to be at home all day, every day.
That's me.
So, one thing, though, like you had mentioned, you felt like when you first started venturing out that you didn't think you were that attractive. Like, mm-hmm. Did your body look like what it looks like now?
I never lifted a weight before, ever.
Okay.
Never right. once had I lifted a weight. I had started, my hair was thinning at the time. I was not bald, but it was thinning. And I had gotten to the age where your metabolism finally starts to slow. And so the words that we call it where I grew up is gay thin, where your chest sinks in. I know it's very weird. Oh. You know, just scrawny, very, very, very skinny. Very skinny.
So like skinny fat.
Skinny fat. Skinny here, not as skinny down here.
Yeah, okay.
I was never heavy. I kind of wanted to be thicker, right? Which is why I started working out, was to get a little meat on my bones. But at that time, it was going from being able to eat everything all day, every day, food, and it just, oh, look, I'm a size 28. To, oh, I'm not anymore. And so that was a bit of a struggle. I had braces as an adult after 30.
Oh, shit.
And so I got the braces. I started working out at 30. Right? I never picked up a weight ever before. I took up jogging for a while and ran a lot of races and just started trying to get in shape. And so sometimes when, like, I'm muscular now, right? I get it. But sometimes when people say, oh, I love your body, it just still feels foreign. Because that first 30 years, that's not at all what this presented. I mean, it was athletic. I played sports and everything. I was skinny, but me as muscular is just still a little bit of a struggle in my brain.
Yeah.
It's hard to get past that.
No, I think every like bodybuilder that I've interviewed for this series, same thing. No matter how big they are, no matter how muscular they are, they still see that skinny kid or fat kid or whatever in the mirror. That never leaves, ever.
But I find that as a positive thing, because I'm very conscious of people who are self-conscious, right? Because I see that I see myself in them, and mm-hmm. I go as far as I can possibly go to make them feel at home and comfortable and be happy with who you are, as long as that's who you want. The image you want to be, don't stress out about it, right? So I'm super conscious of never judging anybody on a shape or size or anything like that, because I have been there myself, and I would have given anything to feel comfortable in some situations. And so I try to, if somebody thinks that I'm being judged or something, like, oh no, not me. I don't judge on size, shape, age, anything. You're just a person, right? Let's have fun. Very important. Yeah.
No, I agree with you 100%. And I don't know, though. Like, I just feel like for some people, they can't get out of their head.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I did a monologue video. It's called like Dating Advice for Fat People, because I couldn't find a politically correct term that everyone agreed on.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's just like, you know, if someone happens to be a bit huskier, thickums or whatever, it's like, don't face the wall when you get undressed. Don't turn the lights off. You know what I mean? Like, own it. Your body is your body. Like
the one thing I say when people say, what is your type? And I say, confident. Doesn't matter what shape or size you are. If you're comfortable in your skin and you're confident, I'm drawn to you. Right? And I am. That's not a lie. I don't have a body type that I gravitate towards to. And I don't know if you've even heard of them, but there are these fornication parties that I work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come one, come all. And I'm there to participate, right? And what I've learned is that some of the best times you can have are with people who maybe aren't what you would have initially thought would be a fantastic thing, and they really are, right? So I don't judge. Yeah. And I just try to take people as they are. As long as they're confident, that really appeals to me, is confidence. And so I'm like, if somebody's like, I don't know, like, just be fine. Just be fine. Just be cool. And people will gravitate towards you. It has nothing to do with how you look. It's how you present yourself as being confident in yourself.
Yeah.
Easier said than done. I don't know if I could have taken that advice when I was this big around. I mean, I was so skinny. So skinny. I can remember I would look in the mirror and I had a W, like from my shoulder would come, scoop down and scoop down. And I had a W and I thought, one day I'll have an M where it comes up and goes down. It comes up and goes down. That's how skinny I was. And now I've got an M. It kind of goes up. Anyway.
It's so true, though, because, I mean, like, a lot of these guys, especially, you know, if they're insecure about their weight or their size or they think they're too skinny or whatever it is, like, I have a really good friend. I mean, he's real husky, like, probably 330.
Mm-hmm.
And he has no issue finding guys because right. His personality is fucking amazing.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, how many times have you, for example, seen a really physically hot guy at the gym and then you'll see his personality and it's like, straight nose dive to a zero.
More times than you could ever possibly imagine. It's like talking to paper. I'm like, what? But it's, sometimes those guys are even more insecure than anybody mm-hmm. else, right? They're like, oh, I can't eat. Oh, I look fat. I look fat. And they're this big around. You're just like, we all have it. We all have this insecurity in us. And don't think that just because somebody has got a bunch of muscle on them or something, that they're not horribly insecure. That's why confidence is key. And like you said, it doesn't matter your shape or size. If you've got that good personality and you're confident and you're good with yourself, people will come to you.
Yeah. And another thing too that also attracts it is like being positive or being happy or like building people up. Like, because I'm sure you've known plenty of people who are like, woe is me. I hate my life. This sucks. That sucks. Blah, blah. Dude, nobody fucking wants to be around that shit. People want to be around other people to make them feel good.
Yeah. Positive energy is what we're looking for here, not Debbie Downer.
Exactly.
It happens all
the time. So you got into working out and that was just motivated, like you just wanted to look better, right?
Well, I went to meet somebody and that had met online. Now, this was before cell phone, smartphones. Now I'm old. But it was like Adam or Manhunter, one of those things, you know. And we agreed to meet at a place and I got there, and I could tell that's who it was. But when I went up and introduced myself, he pretended to not know me. And I thought, oh, crush. crush because it was like, oh, not one word was said. It was all purely physical. And what turned him on. And at the time, I was like, I want to meet people. And the way to do it is by getting muscular. And I thought that was the key. And it does work, right? It does. There are some benefits to it. But I now have flipped over to that. It's not that important. But at that time, it was brutal to me. And I had already been super insecure. My dad, when I was very little, poked fun at me for having my shirt off. Now, this is like when I'm 8. So I'm like a little kid. But I literally developed such anxiety about it. If I was playing basketball and my team was practicing and they were going to do shirts and skin, I would fake like I was sick so I wouldn't have to take off my shirt. Right? And it just carried it forward all these years. And so when this guy did that and just pretended that, I mean, it was very clear that that's who it was. I was just like, I don't know where I'm going to end up, but I feel like I need to make a change. And so that's when I started working out. And I got into running with my sister. We took that up together. And that was a fun thing for us to do together. And then that was what led me to get bigger and stronger and all this stuff. But it was kind of a crushing thing. Yeah. And it was right when I first got divorced. And it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I'd rather somebody say, you know, I don't think this is for me, but thanks, you know, rather than just like, who are you? Like, dude.
Yeah, no, it's amazing the impact that those experiences have. Because, I mean, that would be, I don't care how confident you are, that is going to fucking hurt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I feel like there's one of two responses to that. Response A is, oh, nobody will ever love me. Let me go feel sorry for myself. Or B, which you picked, is obviously this is not working. What can I do to make it better?
Yeah, because I wasn't what in my brain I thought I looked like. It's not what I look like. And I wanted to make that real. Right. Mm-hmm. So that what I wanted to project is what I had. And I think that's what we all need to aim for. You don't have to aim for super muscular. You don't have to aim for super skinny. You just have to know that that's what you want to be and be okay with it. My mom has a thing, and it's a mantra of mine. It says, for dinner, we're serving two things, take it or leave it. And so I apply that to life today. You know what? I got two things to offer you. You can either take it or you can leave it. And if you leave it, that's fine. Somebody else will be behind you to take it. But in this moment, I'm not getting any younger. I'm not getting any skinnier. I'm not getting any fatter, right? My wiener not getting any bigger. My ass isn't getting any fatter. Either you want it or you don't. And if you don't, that's fine. But it's not going to stop me from having fun tonight, right?
Yeah.
And so I just try to always think that. And if people are like, nah, I'm like, okay, that's fine. Whatever. I'm not what floats your boat. That's okay.
But when did you get to that point, though? Because I feel like some of that comes with aging, where you're just like, I don't even fuck this. Like,
that's it. Like, talk is cheap, right? Tell this to the 20-year-old me, and I would have been like, you have lost your mind. You're absolutely correct. It comes with age and having a good set of friends who will support you when they see, you know, like maybe you're a little down or something. Hey, don't worry about that. There's somebody else coming like there. You don't need them. We're here, right? The people who really matter are here, right? And so you're right. It does come with age. It is. I say it like it's the easiest thing to adopt, but it did take me a long time to get there, especially since I got a late start.
Yeah. God, there was one thing, though, I was going to mention earlier. Do you remember Live Links? So yeah. It was kind of like Grindr or Tinder, but it was on the phone. So you would like call in and you would leave these like, hi, I'm Jason, I'm blah 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 blah, like, and you would listen to other people's prompts and then you'd push like a button and you would just have to trust that people were being accurate about what they looked like.
No, I don't remember that. I do remember Misconnections. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Where, and I was like, well, maybe they saw me. Maybe I saw them. What are the chances? Zero. But still, that hope is there. Too soon. Oh my
God. Young people today have no idea how good they have it.
Oh, you want to have sex? Just doop, 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 doop. Come on over. We're hiding in the bushes, you know, kind of winking, trying to.
Oh, yeah. Remember when you were like back in the day where you'd have to like print out directions on MapQuest so you'd know where the fuck you were going?
Or get a triptych from AAA where you just follow the map. Oh, yeah. It's too funny.
Jesus. God, how times have changed. So, were your parents, how did they respond to your whole divorce?
Okay, so, coming out? I have a very weird upbringing. We've missed like two or three generations. Like, when I say I raised chickens, this is in a house with no air conditioning. We didn't lock the door. Oh. You know, it has an outhouse in the back. Rural, and then there's rural. Hills. They don't have a concept of what that is. I know that sounds funny to think, oh, they don't know what gay is or what gay isn't. There's no concept. I just don't think it ever enters their mind. And they just don't really care. They're too busy trying to put food on the table. I ain't got time to worry about this. In school, nobody cared about grades. They didn't care if I came and stayed out late. They're just like, just go to school and be fine. They didn't expect me to graduate. Wow. They didn't ever look at report cards to sign them. They're just too busy trying to make ends meet. And this is just another one of those things where it's like, okay, what? Huh? No, whatever. Are you happy? Kind of thing. So we never really discussed it much. My dad, he's gone now, but 10 years. But the last few years of his life, he never really talked. He just kind of sat in the corner. And when the family's around, he just... not a very loving, caring kind of fella. And so he wasn't really a part. And so there was no need to tell him anything because it didn't really have anything to do with my life, really. But mom's great. She's been down to visit me and my husband and everything. But I don't think the word gay has ever come up. It's just like, oh, there they are. It's kind of...
No, I like that. It's only a big deal if you make it.
A big deal if you make it. And if it's not on your radar, it's just not on your radar. And that's just not a thing for them. I mean, they grew up literally before electricity. They took a bath in a cistern, okay? They can remember when electricity came into the holler that they lived in. You know, there are no grocery stores. You canned your food, right? And so they could care less. Nobody graduated high school, none of them. It's just, let's just be happy being ourselves, right? So things like gay things and politics and opinions on things, they just don't exist where I come from. They just don't.
Wow. My sister's a little bit more,
but not them.
There's got to be a word for like ultra rural or something. Because rural doesn't even describe what you're describing. Oh, yeah. This is like 10 steps beyond that.
It's like nothing you've ever seen. I'm telling you. And we're not talking like ages and ages. We're talking like 1990s and stuff. And we didn't have a microwave. We didn't have like a air conditioning or anything. We didn't lock our doors. We just left it wide open. We had chickens running in and out of the house. This is the 90s. This is not like we were like generations behind. So it's just a very whole different mindset. They're way more concerned about great, you're gay, whatever, but we got to feed the chickens. We got to break the beans. We got to can the beans. Got to put the beans up so we have something to eat during the winter kind of thing. Who you're with just doesn't matter. Yeah. Very weird.
No, I mean, hey, you turned out all right. So that's all that matters. So, all right. So you divorced. You come out. You're experiencing this whole new life. Then what happens?
Well, like I said, I joined the softball team, and that became like my life. We traveled all over, playing in tournaments and stuff. That became a very big deal for me. And playing the World Series kind of thing, it was just obsessed. Sure. But in doing that, I got to meet people from all over the U.S. because we play Vegas and Fort Lauderdale, all ends of the country, and you start meeting people from all over who are gay, and it just opens up your mind that there's so much more out there that can be done to be happy. And of course, I met my husband, and we were together. And then when you could get married, we got married, and we just kind of did our thing, you know.
This, how'd you guys meet?
Do I?
How'd you guys meet?
Manhunt. Which is an online app. And here's the funny thing. He was like, let's go get dinner. I'm like, dinner? I just want some, you know what? And he's, let's go get some dinner. I'm like a date? You know, I was used to hooking up, right? That's what I was looking for. So I'm like, sure, I'll go get dinner. So we go in and we eat dinner. And I'm thinking, okay, now what? And he's like, well, I'm painting my apartment. You want to come help me pick out some colors? I'm like, yeah. Thinking this is our entryway. No, we get there and he's like, see these colors on the wall? Which do you like better? I'm like, who are you? Who?
Dude, I love your husband already.
Who are you? He's like, let's watch some Family Guy. I'm like, what? No, that's not what. Fine. And we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything the first day. And I thought,
I love it.
I go out with him again. And he calls me and I go out with him again. And we go out again and again. And it took a while before we progressed much. But I was like, what is this? And that's how we met.
Dude, I love your husband. That's probably one of the best stories I've heard.
Yeah. I was like, pick painkillers. I'm like, wink, wink. Yeah, I got it. No, he really did. And so that one looks like pee.
It's like, it literally means pick out pink.
Yeah, really. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, shit.
Frustrated. But it all worked out.
So, how old is your husband in relation to you?
He's 7 years younger. So, he's 43 now? You just turned 43?
Shit, that's really surprising. I was expecting you to say that he was like 10 years older, because I feel like when you get older, then you start to value the other things, right? And you tend to take more of his approach.
Right.
Whereas when you're younger, you're like, oh my God, let's go. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I would. Exactly. You're with me. Let's go pick some paint colors. Nope, that wasn't it. He really did. Paint colors. But yeah, this is kind of weird because he is much younger.
Wow, okay. You guys have been together for 15 years.
Yep.
Damn.
We were completely monogamous for the first 5. But then, I mean, we've done it everywhere you can do it, in every position you can do it, in every state in the union. Almost it's like, let's try something else. And so it's worked out. It's worked out.
So you guys are just open, right?
You're not completely open. But we're closer than we've ever been. I know that may seem weird, but you go from that kind of lust love to I want to take care of this person and I want to make something with this person kind of love, where you would do anything for them. But the lust part isn't as, in the beginning, that's almost all it is, right? It's like six, 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 all along. And then you realize, wait, this person's so much more than that. And I want to give all I can give to him, and he returns it back to me. And so we end up getting all that we need from each other. And it's wonderful. Now, there are ups and downs, right? But overall, it's been great. But yeah, we're very open now. Obviously, I'm making porn.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just, like, I've always preferred monogamous relationships. I get, like, open. That makes sense to me, too. It's when they start venturing off into the poly where I'm like,
I don't know if I've got that many hours in the day.
Yeah, like, to each his own, but I just, that sounds like a logistical nightmare. Right. I don't have time to go on dates with 3 different people. Screw that.
I know. It's tough enough with 2 for me. I don't know if I can handle a third or a fourth or a fifth. And some people, it's all kinds of people. They just like, I love everyone. And that's good. If that's your thing, that's your thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, do whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy. Who am I to say, right?
Okay, so you went back to become an accountant, which I'm assuming that's what you do now.
Sort of. I went back and got the degree in accounting, but the software that we use to do the accounting, I supported, but I got really good with the software. And so after like 9 years of that, the company got bought, and the guy said, "Hey, you know the software well enough to teach other people how to use it." I'm like, "You think so?" And he's like, "Yeah." And within a week, I was hired as a consultant to implement software for people. And so that's what I do. It is in the accounting realm, right? But yeah, that's what I do. I go around and people buy it, and I come in and I make it work. Yeah, it's
I
kind
thought
of
you were going to take a completely different angle with that. I thought you were going to say, like, they got rid of the software and then you had to go learn something new or something.
no. I just kept doing that. I just do it for other people now, and I've been doing
Okay,
it
no.
for a long time.
That sounds better than being an accountant.
It kind of is, right? You get in there and you get it all set up, and then you move on and go somewhere else. And my job, you would go to their site, wherever they're located. You would go there back and forth every week for a year or a year and a half. And so I got to see all parts of the country and really see them, right? Not just a weekend visit, but like when I went to LA, it wasn't LA proper, it was north of LA, but I flew back and forth to LA every week. And so you really get to know the area a little bit more intimately than if you just visit for a week. Same for New York, Wisconsin, Alabama, all these different places that I've gone and got to really experience what life is like and see how other people live and learn that there's a kosher aisle in a grocery store out here. Well, I'm from Tennessee. What's a kosher aisle? No clue. What's that on your forehead? Oh, it's Ash Wednesday. And what's that on your forehead? It's like I had no clue. But now that I've been all around US and I see how different people live, and it's just been great. But that's what I've been doing for the last few years.
So when you're traveling, how, like, you're there for a year and a half, or you're going back and
Back and forth
forth?
every week.
How often are you out there? How often are you home?
I would fly out on Sundays, be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then fly home. So I'd be home Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday day. And then go back. But then COVID happened. And that kind of put the stop on that. So I did that for many, many, many years. And now it's all like this, remote. So I've not picked back up the traveling. A little sad. But I had a good 10 years of it. So I've seen a lot.
So, how in the world did you get into making content
I
then?
know, it's the most bizarre thing. I'm really so Orlando and Tampa are like side by side, right? Very close. And I live in Orlando. I have tons of friends in Tampa. We're so super close, super, super, super close. And one of my best friends started dating a guy who was big on Instagram. And I was like, "Well, let's meet him. We'll see." And I met him, and he's very nice. Small talk. We're like, "Okay." And like you were saying, we were talking earlier, I have a thing for underwear and socks. So for years, I like to buy unusual underwear. Like I go to websites and find it. I don't just go to the store and get some Hanes. For years I'd done that. And to put your pictures out there, you take a picture in it. So I was talking with him. He's like, "Oh, you should put those pictures online." I'm like, "My body online? No, can't do it." I was like, "That's no, my body, my choice." And he's like, "No, they'll send you stuff." I'm like, "What?" And they said, "Yeah, you'll get free stuff." I'm like, "I'm listening." And so
Yeah, free,
I'm
okay.
listening if I could get some free stuff. He says, "Trust me." And he takes my phone and he takes my picture and he makes the account and he posts a picture to it. And he said, "Now post something every day and you'll see what I mean." And I was like, "I don't know." But I did. And I started posting every day a different pair of underwear, every single day. Me in a different pair of underwear. And it's morphed a little bit, but it's pretty much the same now as it was 5 years ago, right? That's when it was, a little over 5 years ago. And sure enough, people started sending me things and stuff like that. I was like, "Wow, well, this is pretty cool." But it's underwear. I would get messages from people saying, Do you do porn? Not on a porn. And finally someone said, do you do porn? I said, not on a porn. They said, you should. I think you have a look that they could use. And here are two people to contact. And so you send it to the side. And you're like, me, porn, no. And the next day you're topping and you're like, Lila. You look over and you're like, I mean, I guess I could call. And then you wait another couple of days. And you're like, you know what? Why not? Just to see, you know, to see. And to my shock, they both responded and were like, yeah, we think you've got a look that'll work. And I had an interview. And then within a month, they're like, be in Miami at this place at such and such time for your first shoot. I was like, and they said, what do you want your name to be? I'm like, and I mean, it's not quick because it had never really crossed my mind. And you're like, yeah, in an instant. But I really thought it was just going to be one and done kind of thing. Just to say I've done it, right? And then you do it, and it's not the best. And you're like, I could do better. And then you do one more, and you're like, I could do better than that. And before you know it, it just kind of became a thing. It's very by chance. Did not intend for that to happen.
Okay. So here again, you just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And
yeah, I kind of started by go-go dancing, right? I kind of, guy messages me and says, do you want to go-go dance in New York? And I'm in Florida. I'm like, why not? Never met me. Didn't know if I could dance. Just thought I had a look that he thought went with his event. I'm like, well, sure. So I did, and I liked it. And so I've been go-go dance. And then this comes on, and it gets a little bit bigger. And then I met Jake Morgan doing a dancing event. And I had done a few videos and just was like, well, I guess that's it. He's like, well, no, if you do this and you maybe do that. And he became like a mentor to me. And he recommended me for something bigger. And the director asked me in. And that bigger thing is what really started helping me get to the bigger and bigger and bigger things. Left on my own, I probably would have churned for a little bit and just kind of died out. But because he helped me out, I think I was able to hit a nerve, maybe, and get a few more offers. And so it took off a little bit.
Wow. And
very by chance.
having done everything, what do you prefer doing, studio or your own?
I like studio because, A, you get to meet people, and I am absolutely intrigued by how it all works. You know, and studio can be a lot of different things, right? It can be a guy holding a camera, but it can also be nine people, a couple sound people, two cameramen, lighting people, production assistants and everything. And it's just fascinating to see how it all works together. To come up to God screwing. Now, one that you do on your own may be just as popular as the other, right? It's not about quality or anything like that. I just like the mechanics of it. And when I do one on my own, I usually have to record it myself and edit it. And I love to do that. But there's just something fun about the mechanics of having a cameraman. And here's our scenario. And I don't know how many people know, but lots of porn is not scripted. So you're coming down to work out and your stepson is already working out and he's hurt his shoulder. Go. And you're like, that's it? And so you just have to, it's ad lib. It is kind of fun. And I don't know, I just find it really interesting to do that. And so I've started doing my own things. And adding that B-roll, right? B-roll is the talking at the beginning that you think everybody fast forwards through, but there are a lot of people who just need those few words like stepdad. And that's the trigger. And without it, it's just two guys, an old dude and a young dude. But if you say stepdad and son, and don't mess up that side of the bed, that's where your mama sleeps, right? You're setting the tone. And they love it. And so I've started trying to do that a little bit with my own stuff that I record on my own, not just jumping into bed and having sex, but adding those few words at the beginning to set a stage for somebody's fantasy, right? Because that's what it's all about.
I like that. Mm-hmm. That's good. No, I mean, you're absolutely right, though, that a lot of the times people underestimate how important the verbal can be. Mm-hmm. Like you said, even just a few words can, like, zero to 100. Like, zero, oh, dear God. Like that.
Hey, where's your mom? When's she getting home? Oh, she's been at the mall for a couple hours? Oh, okay. Just that kind of, it makes it dangerous and heightens that sense. And some people just fast forward through it. It's like, where's the cup shot? Where's the money shot? That's what I'm here for. But others like that little bit, especially what I do a lot of, which is stepdad and son, right? I'm like America's favorite stepdad. I guess I look like an accountant in some ways. I don't know. But those people really love it, right? Those are the people who really like that little bit of a storyline.
So you just mentioned it. Was there ever a point at which being called daddy, you're like, oh, like just kind of cringed? Oh, no. And then, like, once you cross a certain threshold, you're like, yeah, actually, I like this.
No,
or you always liked
it. I've kind of always liked it. And I don't know. Just something about it appeals to me. I don't know. It puts me in a mood, right? Because when they call me daddy, then I feel like I can take on a persona and can kind of go for it, especially when I'm in a movie like, going to take your daddy, you're going to take your daddy's hole, you know, I really like, or, I don't know, it just gives me something to go on, you know. I mean, I'm fine without it, but if you're making a fantasy, let's go all the way, and let's get into it, right? I get it is a lot of stepdad. Stepdad, coach, police officer, that's my wheelhouse there.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately for both of us, the daddy thing is super in right now. So.
I mean, we sort of have the same look there. When I keep looking at you, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, just daddies are super popular for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
I'm not complaining either. But I didn't like daddies when I was younger, too, so I get it. It's just that middle area I call the gay gray area, which is 30-ish. Nowadays, you're a daddy at 35, right? But for me, a daddy's more like over 40. I guess 35, you could be a daddy.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Sometimes it's more about attitude, like, I'm going to take care of you, boy. Okay, 19-year-old, take care of me. Daddy.
So, speaking of that, like, you had mentioned that, you know, having kids was maybe a regret. Have you ever thought of adopting? Or
I did, but I think it's, I feel like it was just a little too late when it crossed my mind. When it became important to me, I felt like I was too old. I guess I could adopt an older child and that would be okay. But I don't know. I just felt like I missed that boat by just a little bit, I think. I'm not saying it can't happen. And some good friends of mine adopted, and they're around my age, and they have like a 16-year-old and then like a 2-year-old. It's like, what? But as I get older, I see how important they can be later in life. You know, they do bring you joy as you age, and raising them is a lot of fun, and you do sacrifice a lot, right? But I think where it really becomes important as I get older and my parents get older, see how important children can be in your life, not just to help you live on, but to help you live, right?
Yeah.
To that too. So that's the one thing that I'm like, my sister who is younger than me has a 28-year-old, like a 26-year-old, and like a 22-year-old, and she's young and has these adult children and never has a grandkid younger than me. Ooh, I'm granddaddy porn next. But I'm just thinking, wow, that would be really cool. I do think of all the things I would have missed out on, and I don't want to miss out on anything that I've done. I love everything that I've done. I just think, wow, it'd be really nice to have a child when I'm older.
Yeah, no, having a mini me is really cool.
I know. I really. That's awesome. That's the one thing I kind of wish we had right out of the gate. Whoops. Because we never had unprotected sex, right? And so I really wish maybe something had happened and we'd had a kid early on. It probably would have changed my whole trajectory, and I don't know if I'd be here, but I do wish I had one.
Yeah. Oh, and it's awesome, too. You get, anytime you, like, need something done, you don't feel like doing it, you're like, hey, come over here. I need this shed put together.
I need that. When are you available?
No, my son is 21, and oh, yeah, he's the greatest kid in the world.
Oh yeah,
he was actually the product of a one night stand, believe it.
Really?
Yeah, and I knocked up probably the best mom on the planet. So I got very, very lucky.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy though the way that life works. Yep. Like, I don't know. You know, you always could adopt someone older.
Yeah, you never know. It's a thought. I don't know. I'm getting kind of up there.
If you're gonna do it, I wouldn't wait too long.
I wouldn't wait much longer, right? No, I don't think I'm gonna do it. But I've got nieces and nephews I can lean on if I need to. I guess is how it all happened. I'm pretty close to a couple of them.
So what does the future look like for you? I mean, right now you got two really good gigs going on.
Yeah, I'm just going to, I always said I would do the porn until it wasn't fun, and it's still fun. So I'm getting to go to the UK in 2 weeks to dance, you know, and last year, or I guess around January, just before January this year, I got to go to Berlin and do a live sex show in Berlin. And so wow, all these incredible opportunities, just when I'm like, yeah, I don't know, something really cool will come up and I have so much fun. And I'm like, so I'm just going to keep doing it. My job is great. My regular day job is great. I think I just got a promotion. We'll see. And so it's going good. And I'm just going to play it out and see where it goes. I do think that I'm kind of getting on the upper end, right? If a daddy's 35, then I am a granddaddy, right? But as long as they still call me and still will have me, I'll still show up and do it. I love it. I absolutely love doing it. But if you don't need an older, bald dude, you just don't need them, right? I mean, if you don't, you don't need them. So, yeah, I'm just going to keep going. Again, as long as it's fun, I'm just going to keep doing it. And it's still a lot of fun. Still a lot of fun.
Is there a certain age you just want to be done with everything?
No. I think when people try to say that, it's because they just don't really know. They're guessing, right? I'll know when it's time. And I can tell that I'm starting to get more and more interested in maybe making the movies, right? Like I'm starting to kind of think of stories and things that would be fun to do. And like I said, in my own OnlyFans and Just For Fans and all those things, all those other social medias, I'm trying to come up with ways to not just be sex, but tell a story, try to do something fun and different and see how that goes. Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I think you're absolutely right, though, when you said that there's this notion that, like, everyone fast forwards to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you an example with me. Like, in my videos, it used to be, you know, I would finish and then it would fade to black, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, I had a few fans reach out to me and they're like, no, we want to see, like, the aftercare. We want to see right after. So I told my editor, I was like, hey, start leaving in the 5 minutes after that. And people like love that. They love the pillow talk.
What I've started doing is if I film something at home or at a hotel or whatever, when I'm done, I say, can we just take a shower? Just a shower and chat and they're maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes long, not very long. We just pretty much shower, but they're so popular. Because that's a real moment, right? And not that the sex isn't real. It is very real, but you don't get to really know people and how they laugh and how they smile and if they feel awkward or if they've got an accent, you know? And except for when you're in there and you're, you know, showering and, oh, the water's hot, you know, kind of thing. And I have found that those are sometimes as popular or more popular than the sex videos, right? Because I think what people want more than anything than just hot sex is real reactions, yeah, right? Real feelings, not something that's put on. And so I think the showers, and like you were saying, after you're done, just laying around and laughing. Because that's kind of part of my favorite part of it, is to laugh and carry on afterwards. And people like watching that because I think it's very real.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing that separates like fan content from studios is the authenticity and the like you said, the candid moments.
I think that's really a big thing is the candid moments, right? Where you can be silly and goof off and not worry about it. And I don't know. That's just things people really like watching it. And you touch around, and just laugh and carry on, but it's more about getting to know the person, the real person.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
So speaking of the real person, how has becoming Killian affected your sex life? Or affected your entire life, positive and negative?
Well, first of all, Killian is not my real, it's my stage name, right? And so it took me very long time to embrace that, right?
Oh, wow.
And because I don't like to lie, and I felt like it was a lie, but it's not a lie. That's who I really am when I'm in these movies. That's really who I am. That is me. But I did struggle with that. My sex life is very not as spontaneous or free. I very much am always thinking, I should film this. I need to film this content and get that out there to keep people interested. And it's not about, and I told you, I don't often meet up with people at a bar and go home. Right now, there are after parties that you could go to and you can meet people there and fool around. But I'm even finding there, all I can think about is if I was home, I could be filming. And so the times that I just have fun. Now, I want to say that when I film, it is fun. It is not work. I'm not that person. I'm not a phone in kind of person. When I'm there, I'm 100% present and I'm in it. It is not fake and it is not. I'm just filming to check this box and get this out there, right? I arrange it, I get it together, but when I start, I'm there for fun because I think people can tell when you're not, right? Yeah. They can tell when you're really into it, when you're really not, and I am really into it. I fully commit, and I love it, and it's so much fun. But it's also, there's a camera right there, right? And so I always turn the camera so I can see it, so I can make sure I'm in the picture and not ahead in the bottom corner, like the whole video would be like this. Hey, how are you doing? What an interview would be like that. So I turn around so I can see it. So inevitably you're like, looking to make sure you're in frame. And so that does take away a little bit of it. It is very real. It's very true. Very much into the person that I'm with. None of that is fake when I'm filming. But I'm also slightly distracted. It's like when my husband's like, let's watch Family Guy and play around. No, I'm going to watch Family Guy. How am I supposed to make out? And what Family Guy? No, one track. And so when I'm filming, that's my sex life, right? Is that I don't really get a lot of just one-on-one meet up and have fun kind of things. I do on occasion, but it's usually when I've decided I'm not going to. Right. That's the only bad thing. I'm always thinking about them.
Always. Yeah.
Until you get up enough to where you're like, okay, I got a breather. But that almost never happens when you live somewhere like Orlando, right? Or you live in a smaller city where there's not a. You go to LA.
Oh yeah.
LA, New York. There are a lot of people who are looking to film. A lot of new people who are looking to film, and I really like to work with new people a lot, right? Because I feel like it's more fresh. To get to work with new people, but here is not. So you got to seize those opportunities when you get them. And so that's kind of what it's like now. It's like film, 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 film. And honestly, a lot of the times, this is so sad to say, but I was just in Palm Springs, right? And I think you were there.
Yeah.
with Aaron Trainor, right? The same time he was there. The whole time there, I filmed for studio. I filmed OnlyFans, and then I jacked off every night. That's my sex life. Wow, porn star. So it's not all sex all the time anymore.
Yeah.
I know that's not glamorous, but it's also true.
Yeah. So does anyone ever meet you and they're like, oh my God, I want the Killian Knox experience?
More often, they're like, oh my God, I've jacked off to you 1,000 times. And they leave. I'm like, well, let's do it 1,001. I want to meet them. I want to play. I want to do something. I want to get to know them. And they just come up. They say their thing. And they walk away. I'm like, don't leave. Where are you going? Let's talk. But I get a lot of people. Sometimes it's almost like they want to have sex with a porn star. And which one isn't really important. They just want to say, check, had sex with a porn star.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if I meet people, I don't even tell them I'm a porn star. Right? Some of them know and some of them don't know, but I don't ever bring it up. But now if I'm filming, it comes up. But if I'm just meeting people, I never lead with that. I'm just me, right? But then every now and then I'll find somebody's like, you're so-and-so. And I want to say I had sex with a porn star. But yeah, most of the time they come up, they're like, hey, and then they leave. They're like, oh yeah, I've been watching you forever. And they go, come on.
Oh my God. No, you're absolutely right. A lot of people do that. They want like the experience to check a notch off their belt.
Yeah. But like sometimes I'll get people who like when I top, I can get really intense, right? I can get very intense and very forceful. I'm not super high, right? Which is why it's super weird. I'm a porn star, I guess, but I get really into it and it's real. And I get, and they're like, I want to have that. Will you do that with me? Like, I want somebody to just attack and ravage me. And I'm like, yes, I will do that. That's so sometimes I do get that because they've seen that intensity and they want that intensity. They don't just want to have sex. They want somebody to be like eyes popping out of their head. Like I get sometimes. Intense, and that's what they want more than just sex with the porn star. Sometimes it is about the intensity.
Okay, so I ask almost everyone this.
Okay,
now for the rest of your life, you can only have sex in 2 positions. That's it, never anything else. Only 2. What 2 do you pick?
Missionary. Crave eye contact. Right, yep. I want to connect with you. I mean, look at you in the eye and see what you're seeing, and really, really connect. And that's the only way to do it. That's the only way. And it feels better. I mean, I say it feels better, but it depends. If you curve this way, you curve this way, you curve this way. You know, but for me, it feels better. But most importantly, I can see you. Right, and that's what I want more than anything is to make the connection with you. And look you in the eye and feel that connection and make out with you and touch your head and just become one. That's my whole goal. And doggy's fun. And, you know, and holding somebody upside down. You know, I've done it all. But for me, it's all about the missionary. And so I can see your face and really connect. That's so hard to me. And anything where a foot touches me. That's it. I'm really into feet.
Not really?
Oh. Feet and socks. Oh, my God. When I have personal moments, private, by myself at home, I just watch feet videos. I just get out the phone and just see people do. I call it kitty paws where you crunch your toes.
Okay, this is like my 60th interview, and I have never once heard one single person say this.
What?
So explain the feet thing to me. The way you would if you were talking to a golden retriever. It's always fascinated me.
Okay. So think of it this way. So I thought a lot about this, right? But to me, feet are raw person. right? Especially me growing up, I never saw anybody barefoot. My dad never once barefoot, never saw him barefoot. But you are more likely to see someone's dick than their foot sometimes, right? Now, taking flip-flops out of the scenario, right? And it's protected, like underwear with a sock. And so when it is exposed, it is like pink and it's bare, and it's something that they probably not put a lot of, like, I comb my hair and I picked this hat and I wore this shirt, and it's all very put upon, and it's all very an image I'm trying to project. Your feet are raw. They're just you. And it's athletic. I can see the bones in them, and it really turns me on. It's very, very masculine to me. I like the tops, but I really like seeing the bottoms. And I love to have them touch my face. Or when I'm having sex, I'll hold one here so I can see it and look at you. And I love to see the other one dangling on the side. Just, it's the most submissive thing that I think a guy could do, right, is their feet, right? Everybody's going to have sex with their dick, but how many people going to put their foot up in your face, right? I don't know. But it has always intrigued me. And socks, too, but they're like cum. They're only good when they're warm. When it's cold, it's no good. Like, you take that foot out with a sock out of a shoe, oh, and right off your foot, I just want to smell it. And, now, a lot of people want to put the foot in their mouth. I'm not one of those. I will. I love to do it. And I'll let you put mine in your mouth. I'm very good at that. But the real turn on is just to feel it, especially here. Just take them and pull them down. Can't explain it, but there's so many of us out there. It is shocking how many people come to me for foot videos, not just to have feet on me, but when I'm watching porn and they are having sex, I gotta see a foot in the air. If I don't see a foot in the air, I'm not gonna get off. And it can be even down, like, if it's doggy style, as long as I can see the feet of the person, something about it just does it for me. And I'll tell you this, for my friends, so they know I'm thinking about them in a porn, I'll wave with my toes. That is our, we call it kitty paws. And all my friends know that when I'm filming and I'm thinking about them, I'll go and wave in a video. So if you watch the videos of me and you see me doing this, that's me waving to friends and fans. But no, feet. I can't believe nobody.
Nobody's not one single person.
Oh, I'm obsessed.
I mean, I've tons of subscribers who are into it, but I, you know, can't ask them in depth to explain it to me.
Yeah, I attribute it to the fact that I never saw them growing up. I never saw a naked man. I never saw men's legs. I have aunts, and I have cousins who are female, and I have a couple of uncles, but all of them work in the field. They wake up fully dressed with jeans and pants and socks and shoes, and when they go to bed, they go in the bedroom and take that stuff off. So I never really saw a dick until I was very old. I was totally in the dark about whether I was normal or not normal, or even if I was circumcised. I thought I was not. I very clearly am, but I thought that was what Jewish people were, and I wasn't Jewish, so I wasn't circumcised. I thought they cut the tip off when I was in college. That's how bad.
Yeah, no, there was no internet back then.
But all that to say, I didn't see the feet. And so for me to get to see them is like sneaky and dirty and something that's covered up. It's almost like a tan line. I also like tan lines for that same reason, because it's not seen the light of day. And that makes me want it that much more.
No, I mean, you honestly, like, articulated that better than I've ever heard anyone describe it. Because anyone I've ever asked that to, like, well, I don't know. Like, okay, but no, you articulated it absolutely perfectly.
And I always ask people, do they have things like that? I mean, do you like elbows and things? I'm trying to find other things that people like, but mostly it's just feet.
I'm simple. Underwear. But like
oh my god, underwear. I'm so with you.
Yeah, that one I totally get. The feet thing, though, I'm very similar, but it's not, I'm not consciously doing it. If I'm super turned on, my toes will wiggle like this.
So let me see this in a video. I'll have a moment. I will. That's the kind of thing that drives me nuts. Because it's involuntary, right? It's something you can't control. It's like nobody can control their feet. They do their own thing. And that's that realness. That's almost like the shower after the sex. It's that real thing that just gets me. Yeah. You know? And some people will crunch them down or open or I like when people's legs, like when they get close, their legs start to do this kind of thing.
Oh, and yeah.
Like, because they're out of control. That's real. I think that's why a lot of people like tickling. I don't much like tickling, but because it's real. Right? It's that real moment, vulnerability.
No, I get that. No, I honestly had no idea that I even wiggled my toes until I started, you know, in the adult industry, and people started telling me, and I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
And then I'm like, and then I saw it for the first time in the video. I was like, oh shit, I guess I do. What the fuck? Total mind blower.
I rub my belly. If you watch any video of me, the more I rub my... Okay, let's see, but I rub right at the base, and I just something about pushing there puts me over the edge. But I didn't really pay much attention to it until I watched videos. I'm like, wow, that's really noticeable. Like your toes.
Okay, all right, I got one for you since you might know, but I have this thing for stomachs. I don't know, I wouldn't call it like a fetish, I don't know, something about the stomach is like insanely attractive to me. I can't explain it. And I've always been very hesitant to tell people that because like whenever I say that to someone,
like,
they like somehow get in their head that like, oh, I'm expecting them to have washboard abs or, oh, I'm not athletic. You won't like, motherfucker, I didn't say what kind. I just said stomach.
I just said I like stomachs. I totally get, to me, that kind of fits in that not frequently seen kind of thing. It's very, very raw. I get that totally. And no, it's not about washboard abs. It's about a stomach.
Yeah.
But I do. I press mine. I press it. Push down. And if you put your foot there and press down, oof. I can't explain it. But any video, almost any video you see me just kind of, my stomach just kind of,
I like it. So if you're watching and you get a chance to shoot with Killian, hope you're making notes right now.
Yeah, put foot on stomach. That'll do it.
So what do you and your husband enjoy in your free time? Like what's your life like outside of work and the bedroom and all that?
Well, here we're really big focused on our friends, right? We go to a lot of events. We did travel a lot to different events, like Market Days was this weekend, because we would go a few days early, we would see a city that we like, and then we would party and have a great time. But after you've done it, all right, we've been here 16 times. That's like, I've been to Pensacola on Memorial Day with the 70,000, 100,000 people. 13 times. It's time to switch over to IML, right? So now I've done IML a couple of times. We travel. We travel a lot. We love to travel. We used to travel for these events because where do you want to go? Well, let's go, and then we'll check out this event at the end. And now we're more like, let's go get in a yurt in Arizona. Sorry, the dogs went crazy. And so that's kind of what we do now. We like to travel and that kind of thing.
What about when you guys are home? What's a typical day look like?
So we're homebodies, especially at night. We have three dogs, which you might have just heard, going bonkers. And so there's sofa time, right? We'll make something to eat. We'll eat at home. We don't like to go out to eat that much. We'd rather, because I traveled so much, when I'm finally home, we want to spend as much of it there together. So we'll watch a movie or something and just sit on the sofa and go to bed like at 9:30, 10 o'clock. Because we all work, right, in the morning.
That sounds perfect.
And so we just watch something with the girls, all three girl dogs, right? And he'll just pet them and brush them and watch something. Or he'll maybe play a game or something. But it's all very quiet and very chill. But we always try to eat together and do something on the sofa. Sofa time. We have sofa time.
What kind of dogs do you guys have?
We have two golden doodles, Maybelline and Gracie Lou Freebush. And then we have one Bernese Mountain doodle. Bernese. Oh. She's the baby. Okay. So we have three, and they're all different sizes, little, bigger, fur, or I just pet her. Right? They've come over, but they're like, what are you talking about? But yeah, and so we spend a lot of time with them. We don't travel as much because nobody can, I mean, they'll watch, we have a house with a pool, people will come watch your dogs, right? But we just like to spend time with them and just be at home. We like to renovate houses and fix things up. We have a couple of rental properties and things like that. We just like that kind of stuff.
Nice. Simple. Good for you.
We definitely don't travel a lot with friends, but mostly it's just at home.
No, I love that. And you definitely have to tell your husband, I think your guy's first date was, I think that's a perfect first date. I love it. As soon as you told that story, I was like, I love this guy already.
Yeah, he's a hoot.
So, is he in the industry or no?
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no. In fact, okay. He thinks it's funny that I am because he's known me a long time. And a lot of my friends are like, when somebody recognizes me or something, they're like, him? It's almost like, but they just know me as me, right? They don't know me as somebody online. But he doesn't do that at all. He thinks it's funny. He's been very supportive. And so I'm happy for that. But he works in the medical industry, and he works for HIV, PrEP, and transgender patients, or his patients. And so he does that. But no, he doesn't. He doesn't do anything on the side.
And this profession hasn't caused any problems.
No, we talked about it before we started, and we knew what we did not know would become a thing. At one point, I think it was kind of getting old to go, like if we would go out to a bar or something and people would come up, and or even people from the industry would come up and I would start talking to him, and it's not what he's part of, and so it kind of fell a little out.
Yeah.
But, he's good. I get that. He's good.
It sounds like you really got your shit together. Sounds now, like everything finally worked out.
For now, you never know what tomorrow will be, so I'm just going to enjoy it while I can. But for now, everything seems to be okay. Nothing too crazy.
So, for the people watching who don't follow you, where can they find your social media, fan pages?
Oh my God.
Anything and everything you want to plug.
Okay, so I do have two OnlyFans, right? One is a monthly, which is Knox1Knox, that I've had for a long, long time. And then there's one that's a pay-per-view. So because I do foot videos, daddy videos, leather videos, I was afraid some people would want to do a monthly subscription but if all they wanted was feet. So I started one that is a pay-per-view, and it is Killian Knox, right? So I've got Knox1Knox and then Killian Knox. I also have Just for Fans, which is Killian Knox. And I have an AEBN account, which is Killian Knox, if they want movies where DVD covers and things like that. And so they could go all there. And, of course, Instagram. It's my fourth. I've been banned.
Oh, God.
With underwear. So you're riding the line. But this is my fourth Instagram, and it is Believe It or Knox.
Believe It or Knox?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like Ripley's Believe It or Not, but Believe It or Not.
Yeah, I got it.
It's unbelievable. How's that for corny?
And what's your Twitter?
Oh, shoot. Knox Killian. That's the big one, right? The Twitter's the big one. The Knox Killian. And it will point you to all those other things. Everything I post, I put all those links if people want to go grab it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think in my experience, the kiss of death on Instagram is when you can, like, clearly see an outline of what's between your legs.
The VPL. For years, it was bush. You have a little bit of hair hanging out, and they would instantly algorithm
it. Yep.
Algorithm it. And I think somebody finally said, hey, guys have hair. Not just down there hair, but like a happy trail hair. Just because there's bush doesn't mean it's the bush. And that seems to have lessened. But I was a VPL guy there for a while, and I had a lot of followers because of it. But I think it got me in trouble. The problem is, it's not one that's current. Right? You put it out there because I put them on two sites. I always have a backup. One will get blocked and the other wouldn't, which means somebody complained. If it was an algorithm, surely it would have caught both. And so, but it could be a picture from a year ago that somebody came across and was like, that's crossing the line. I don't know. I wish I knew. But I'm on my fourth and marking my way back up. That's why I went more to Twitter. And that's where most of the fans are now.
Yeah. And you have a Linktree, right?
I do Instagram. I do in the Instagram.
Okay.
And then everything that I post on Twitter, I put all the links in there. So okay. I just go straight there for it. Still trying to figure it out after all these years. I literally just figured out how to put a free trailer on a paid post. It's like, why is this not making any money? Because you can't see anything. It's just a blank thing that says, click here. I'm trying.
No, when you get older, technology starts to...
Good thing I don't do technology for a living in my other job. Oh, well.
Oh, my God. No, but seriously, though, thank you so much for doing this. I truly had a great time.
Me too, and I hope everybody else enjoys it too.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere. For those of you watching, thank you so much for sticking around with us this long. I will post Killian's link tree down below because that's the only thing I can post. Can't post any of the other stuff. So you got to go find the other stuff yourself. But thank you for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you all have an amazing week.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey guys, just want to say thank you for watching this video, and if you did really enjoy it, I just wanted to mention there are two ways that you can help to support this channel. On the right side, there are three little dots. If you click those, there is a super thanks button, and on the left-hand side, there is a join button where you can join this channel. There are three different tiers of memberships. The top tier does actually allow one-on-one messaging with me via Discord, and I personally answered that. It is not a service. That's just, you know, both of those are ways that you can help support me as a content creator in this channel. I mention this because YouTube is by far the thing that I enjoy doing the most. It's the thing I'm most passionate about. And unfortunately, a lot of the sexual videos, the porn star confessions, the Dom sub, all that stuff, it is not monetized due to the nature of the videos. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this. I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. I love you all.